Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good twilight, or whenever the hell you are listening to this. This is the Incendiary Shedcast with me, Damien, and who are you?
I'm Richard.
Hello there.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, we're here, we're all set up, we're back in the shed, the sun's out, the seagulls are dying, and we've got ginger nuts and beer, and here comes a little track for you from the soundtrack of our lives. See you in a moment.
Soundtrack of our lives. The reason we started the show with that was the fact that Not only is that a great record, but it's also on the Haldern recording label, and anyone who knows Incendiary will know that we will be at Haldern Pop Festival between the days of, I think it's the 13th to the 17th of August. Actually, no, it's the 13th, 14th, 15th of August.
Best festival in Europe, everybody.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's in the Niederrhein, the Lower Rhine, just across the border from Holland, and very near to Klever. And, yeah, usually it's a fairy glade filled with inhabitants and naiads and dryads and assorted German tribes turning up, burning car tyres, and making some of Team and Sundry bark like dogs, which is, you know, something that we won't go into. But we usually have a great deal of fun in there. And the Spiegel tent is there, which is a big, well, it's not really a tent, it's like a big sort of dance hall from the 1920s with mirrors going all the way around, which is very, very pretty, and lends a certain bucolic charm to the proceedings, wouldn't you
and
say?
Makes things hot and sweaty.
Yeah, very, very,
It is, like I said, it's the best festival in Europe. We absolutely love it. We're there every year as regular readers of the magazine. We'll there.
Doubtless be aware of.
Yes, and yeah, we just can't wait to be there. And the reason we play them is the soundtrack of our lives will be returning to Haldern once again this year. Can you believe it's nearly 5 years since we last heard from Soundtrack of Our Lives?
Yeah,
and we saw them at Haldern good 5 years ago, and they were brilliant.
Yeah, they were.
I, for one, am very, very much looking forward to that. As elsewhere on that bill, you've got people like Wood Pigeon and the Maccabees and
Gravenhurst as well.
Yeah, and Bon Iver and a load of people.
Lonely Deer again, which as you played last year, it should be a really good gig again. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great festival. It's always a great festival, so we're not going to moan about that.
Yeah, and we're going to try and be all high-tech this year and get...
Yep.
We've got some plans about it. I don't want to tell you everything, because
means
we have to get it to work first.
Twiddling with wires.
Yeah, wires and knobs and batteries and Wi-Fi signals. But Incendiary is going full on to Haldern this year to bring you what is just the best... The best little weekend you can have in the year.
It's not really a little. The problem is that it sort of spans out to the following week, where you end up racked like some sort of washed up crab on the shingle of the morning, really. But you know, we sort of get round it that somehow. But yeah, you'll be able to find us through the wonders of modern technology in a different manner and shape than normal.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. You can find details on the Haldern Festival at www.haldern-pop.de.
That's right.
Haldern Pop.
And what I suggest is, if it normally sells out very quickly, there might be some tickets left. If there aren't any tickets left this year, ensure that you go next year, because it is one of those really great festivals. 4,000 people in, two stages, friendly atmosphere, you know. It is like a veil of fairy descended upon the Niederrhein in Germany.
And if it is sold out, check eBay, because there will be some available somewhere.
There will be somewhere. Right.
Okay, so more of that to come, but now we're going to talk about this month's Incendiary.
That's right, we are. Yeah, and
I think we can't go any further without basically saying, if you haven't read the Julian Cope interview, go now. Stop listening to this, press pause, get on your computer, wherever it is, go and just read it. Yeah. And it's
just
fantastic.
It is everything that an interview should be, in the sense that Cope is, a well-known polemicist, and he enjoys spouting off about things as diverse as the fact that Stonehenge could have been used as an early Bronze Age football bitch, or, you know, the mention of how Britain has changed over the last 20 years, or indeed his punk and, I don't know how to put it, an alternative antecedents in music. I think what I like best about Cope is the fact that he never seems to stop. You can trip him up on a thousand things. He will say things that sound absolutely ridiculous, annoying, but to have someone consistently churning out good albums over, good 30 years now, is so refreshing to have. You never know what you're going to get with Julian Cope. The last few albums, I mean, you could take the Black Sheep Busking Tour and the Black Sheep album. Now you've got Kiss My Sweet Apocalypse coming out, which is somewhat more heading in a more of an Amonjul free rock experimental phase, but... You just never know what you're going to get with him. And he's... I think the interview, which was recorded whilst walking around Avebury and the Beckhampton Avenue complex, is actually possibly one of the most extraordinary interviews we've ever had with anyone, because there was no sort of prearranged attempt to make Mr. Cope, talk about anything. Basically, our interviewer, young James Waterson, turned on the tape recorder and Julian didn't really stop. Which is, of course, what all great interviews were, and to be fair to Mr. Cope, we haven't really tried to set him up or tried to edit his comments. We just thought, because they're so wide-ranging and magnificent in that, that we'd leave it as it was. And
yeah, I think it's the key to how we do interviews. We hate reading those stupid, you know, that broadsheet approach where you get three or four quoted lines and the rest of it is, oh, they're looking like this, and it's just someone's opinion of what they're thinking.
Indeed.
You don't get any of that with this. No. You get a really, really full-on detail comp. But it's a fascinating read. Yeah. Yes, as far as I'm concerned, Cook can talk a load of bollocks half the time. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. He's more interesting than anybody to listen to.
Yeah.
And whether you agree with him or not, it's a great read. And if you haven't read it, go now.
Indeed.
And the other people you were quite intriguing as well is the research.
That's right, V. Varley. This is an old picked up from an old punk fanzine magazine from back in the day, which is now mutated into an organisation selling weird and wonderful records, books, old posters, old interviews. And it's I think it's from the Search and Destroy magazine from the 1970s, and it's a very, very, again, it's like the Cope thing, it's quite polemical in that V. Varley is very interested in things like Throbbing Gristle and J.G. Ballard and William Burroughs and a lot of underground counterculture figures who, I find it very interesting that a lot of people now seem to think that counterculture is something that can be readily accessible. In some ways, this is a very, very underground organisation. And that they're not, indeed, in the interview, Varley says, well, you know, do less, concentrate on one or two on smaller things. Don't feel the need to publicise everything. Which I find quite an interesting angle. In addition to that, a lot of the stuff that research offers, in terms of the books, in terms of some of the, frankly, quite nuts music and film compilations. I mean, the film compilation, the Weird Films guide, looks brilliant. And it's one of those sort of one of the sort of things I'd really recommend you A, to check out, and B, to investigate further. Anyone who sort of puts Throbbing Gristle and J.G. Ballard together in my books is beating the right path, kind of thing. So, I would obviously those two, the Gargantuan Cope interview and the nice introduction to research. But I would expect you to check them both out. Anyway, we've been a bit serious here, and I think it's getting a bit worried here. We sound all very evangelical.
I believe you saw live this week.
Yes.
My Vanity Project.
My Vanity Project. We had a lot of fun. And we went down to Sub 71 in Leiden on Tuesday, July the 20-something. I can't particularly remember what, 23rd, something like that. Ostensibly to see an Argentinian band called The Kellys, which is a four-piece girl band, one of which Charmily had made her own T-shirt, which with the words Colgate toothpaste on it, which was very sort of
minty fresh.
Which indeed she was. It was very much like a girl band does Jonathan Richman ineptly kind of even, which is great. You know, obviously we're big fans of that. But a special mention should go to the band who started the evening's entertainment, which is My Vanity Project, which. As a Dutch-based band, two English members and a Dutch bass player, who I thought sounded just like the Soft Boys at some points, and they have one or two tracks which indeed do sound like the Soft Boys on recorded when listening to the actual LP. They'd never heard of the Soft Boys, which I find incredibly encouraging. There's something really, really good about this lot. They have their own sound, even though it's a very much a standard rock and roll sound. I think there's something quite interesting. You can find out about them on myspace.com/ My Vanity Project, and we're going to play a track called Circus of Pigs.
around the concession stand where the free hats are handed out, but they're a little bit weirded out because there's this 1-inch high naked guy painted green from head to tiny toe running around the brim of each and everyone there. But I can't be too concerned about them. I'm more worried about me and why the fuck I was not invited to the Circus of Pigs.
There you go, Circus of Pigs. How exciting was that? What one further anecdote to tell about the evening is the fact that during that song, the lead singer and guitarist decided that the atmosphere and the ambience would be heightened by wearing a pig mask. So, as you can imagine, not only Colgate toothpaste and dizzy Argentinian ladies jumping around, but a man wearing a pig mask. So, yeah, a lot of fun. Sub 71.
I want to know why I wasn't invited to that Circus of Pigs.
Indeed, yeah. You can't beat that, can you?
No, we're going
to have some fun now, aren't we? We're going to play Bright Sparks, aren't we?
Yeah, our little Bright Sparks section. That little corner of the magazine where we say, oh, we think these guys are going to be quite good. It's not quite as stupid as saying, oh, these are the next best things in sliced bread, because we're fucking better than that, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, this is a band called Anthem Inn, who we've heard some stuff from them, the debut album a couple of years ago, which was okay. Mm-hmm. But they seem to have kind of huddled together and they're improving.
Yep.
So much so that they've released this nice little EP called the Cloud Busting EP, and Kate Bush fans will be kind of turning in their grave at the thought of someone.
Are they all dead, Kate Bush fans? Well, every one of them?
I hope so, because I can't stand Kate Bush, but I'm going to play their cover of Cloud Busting by Kate Bush.
Which will kill everyone's left, I think.
Yes, simply because I like this.
Yeah.
And I absolutely hate Kate Bush, so it's turned me around quite well. The other four songs on the EP are all theirs, and they are as good as this, if not better. But this just needs to be heard, so here we go. Anthem Inn, Cloud Busting.
Throwing their Gracie Fields records immediately away at the thought of that, after listening to that. Exciting, isn't it?
I love that. Yeah, love it, love it. Yeah. Absolutely hate Kate Bush. Love that version. Yeah, you can find out stuff about Anthem Inn on Quiet Loud Records. That's quietloudrecords.com, and you can find some stuff on Anthem Inn themselves at antheminn.net. So that's A-N-T-H-E-M-I-N, all one word,
.net.
Yeah. Please, buy that in droves. I want those guys to be big.
Dibs, how are you going to follow that then?
Well, I'm going to follow that with someone who obviously likes Josh Homme quite a bit.
Yeah. Not in a, you know.
Well, maybe they do like his ginger fire knackers or something. I don't know. But yeah, this is a band called Dark Knights of Camelot. And yeah, basically they've obviously studied the Josh Homme school of guitar playing. But having said that, they may not be as mental as Queens of the Stone Age, but then again, who are? But yeah, you basically, these just sound like a lot of fun and a band you'd quite like to go out on the town with and get drunk with. So
yeah,
have some fun.
I like to run away from just the way I be. So many just won't let me be. And I just wanna be me.
Value for money.
They certainly do. There's no messing about with those lads, I tell
you. Yeah. No, I quite like the fact that it's a rock record and it doesn't sound anything like Joy Division.
No, it just gets on with it, doesn't it? It's exciting and it's thumping and, you know, all the things you've got to do with rock records, you know, play with yourself in the corner and things like that.
Yeah, there's a bit of self-congratulation, shall we say. In quite a number of instruments during that. But
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can find out more if you're interested at myspace.com/ Dark Knights of Camelot. They're also available on Olympic Records, so yeah, go and search them out if that's your cup of tea. It is my cup of tea, I have to say. But now we move to local features.
Local features. Not that this is any way some sort of anthropological examination of the Dutch face, but more of a case of what's going on in the Low Countries, namely Belgium and Holland, and sometimes even in the maybe not too dim and distant future, Luxembourg. We're going to start with a band called Monachino, who seem to live in various places and have people from various backgrounds, but mostly Dutch-based, Japanese keyboardist, who seems to be taking over the mantle of Julian out of New Order with great aplomb. And two Dutch lads, or I think maybe one of them's Belgian, not 100% sure. Sadly, we missed this lot live when they supported Official Secrets Act. We actually went down to support Alex White out of Breaks and Electric Soft Parade, who's helping out Official Secrets Act. And due to the nature of the very generous offer of most of the rider, we missed them, which is a shame because their record is absolutely belting. And if you like synth pop, and if you like a mix between Mark Almond and The Associates and New Order all at the same time, think of that, 40-something-year-olds.
And even if you can't actually imagine something
and
like
even
that.
If you can't imagine that, you can listen to this slightly hysterical record, which is brilliant, actually. This is a song called Boring Combination. some of our older listeners might be able to hear one or two musical snatches of bands that they formerly enjoyed whilst they were small and doing the maths homework. But that's not a big problem, I don't think. I think that's a great record, and I entreat you to find it. That's on Sonny Weissmuller Recordings, which is also distributed by Conquer Ents. These are all Dutch things, which you can find on www.conquerent.nl. If you want to hear more about the band themselves rather than trying to find the record, you can go to www.monokino.com. God, I don't know, I sound like some sort of train announcer, you know what I mean? It's a bit late coming in on platform 5. But
I'm
never mind.
I'm just afraid you're going to turn into Tony Wilson. And
yeah, I'm sorry about that. But look, without the use of chemicals, hopefully. The next track up is a Belgian band called Believo.
Believe you, mate.
And they're sort of very loud and raucous and whiny and shouty, but they do have one or two absolutely cracking tracks on the new album, which is called Radical Myths, and one of them is called Little Kisses, which it's one you, we should all listen to, and I should bring part one of our Shedcast to a close, shouldn't it, really?
We've got so much to talk about, we're going to split it into two, quite painfully.
Like Kenneth Williams did.
So, whilst we wrench apart part one and try to fix things together in order to bring you part two.
Yeah.
Here we go with Believo. See you in a bit.
To go somewhere else to find it.
It's a different file.
That's right.
Somewhere else.
And you know what?
Go away.